De mãos atadas, de pés descalços, com você meu mundo andava de pernas pro ar. Sempre armada, segui seus passos, atei seus braços pra você não me abandonar. Só nem lembro seu nome, seu telefone, eu fiz questão de apagar. Aceitei os meus erros, me reinventei e vi.
Hey,
what's up, Brooks?
How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good. What are you up to?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. And here in Las Vegas.
Yep.
So hot.
Yep. So you do you have a pool or anything?
We have one like here in the housing office, but we don't have one like at our house.
Cool. So, welcome to the podcast, West.
Yeah.
So this is fun. I've had to, well, I was going to save you and Birch for the end.
Yeah.
Cause I figured once I do you and once I do Birch, there's nothing else to say. So I was going to get all the in-between people.
Yeah.
But everyone was bailing. We had a bunch of softies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had so many cancels and changes and no replies. And I'm like, I know that if I get West, he'll say, yeah, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty much.
So have you been listening at all? Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've listened to all of them. I think the only one I didn't finish was Croshaw's, the very last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard every single one of them so far. They're hilarious, man.
What are your thoughts?
I just sit there.
You just chuckle
really like
to yourself?
It. Yeah, pretty much. I listen to it while like my wife's watching The Bachelor or something stupid like that. And then I just sit on the couch and like laugh. She's like, what are you laughing at? And she's like, oh, yeah, you listen to podcasts. She thinks I'm like actually paying attention to what she's watching. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
Right.
Listen to the podcast.
Well, you know the format, so let's go back to the last day of your mission. You get home. This is 2006?
Yeah, January 2006.
Okay. So what happens January 2006 when you get home?
So, let's see. So, first of all, it's like freezing when I get home. I have like this Brazilian suit on that I bought.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, so cold. You know, I go home with my family for like 2 days and then I'm right into college. So, so I came home just like 3 days early so I could start the, spring semester at UNLV. So I came home, said hi to my family. And then it's like a day and a half later, I turned around and just like drove down to Vegas. So
where are you from?
I'm in a little town called Hawthorne, Nevada.
That's right. Where's that?
It's like, exactly. It's like middle of nowhere.
Is it on 95?
Like yeah, Highway 95 between Reno and Vegas.
So you pass Pahrump and you pass, what's some other cities that you pass on the going up?
Yeah, so Pahrump's actually kind of off to...
Yeah, Pahrump's south of the
side.
The site.
Yeah. So if you're driving from Hawthorne to Vegas... You pass like Tonopah, Goldfield.
Yep.
All these like little dinky towns, just like Hawthorne, like one stoplight. Yep. Bunch cool. of brothels. Stuff
yeah.
like that. So, good old Nevada. And then you get to Vegas, which is awesome Vegas. So.
Yeah.
And then going north, there's Fallon and then Reno. That's really it.
Yeah.
So.
Carson City.
Yeah. Off to the side a little bit. So. Yeah, so that's where I grew up. So I went home just a couple of days, drove down to Vegas, went back to college. And then I met my wife within like the first few months of getting back.
Okay.
We weren't dating though. I was actually dating somebody else.
Yeah.
probably heard about her from the mission.
Yeah, because you were dating the same lady that Miera was dating, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story because I baptized her in high school. And yeah. Then I left, and then he dated her, and then she broke up with him before I got home, and then we dated again, and yeah. But didn't, obviously didn't end up getting married, but...
Yeah, that's yeah, that so was, funny. That funny. I don't think he, Miera married her either, right?
No, he didn't, no.
So, hilarious.
No, actually, I know I kind of know the guy she married. It was some other guy from the singles ward, but...
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah, that's kind of a funny story. But, no, so I met my wife, like, after I got home. It's funny, she actually, like... She took my mission picture. She's like, "Can I keep this?" And I was like, "Sure, I guess so."
Where's like, she
I'm
from?
I'm dating someone else. She actually grew up here in Vegas, out in Henderson.
Okay.
So, yeah, her family all lived out there, and then after we got married, her family moved back up to like Logan, Utah area.
Yeah.
A little town called Smithfield, just north of Logan. So. Mm-hmm.
I think that's where Croshaw's from.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so. I started college there. Yeah, I broke up with the other girl, and then I started dating my wife towards the end of 2006, like October, November-ish.
What'd you do that summer?
What did I do that summer? I worked at the Tropicana Hotel here in Vegas.
Okay.
As a pool boy.
Did we get you to, or did we try to get you to come sailing with us?
Probably. I almost did the Living Scripture thing. They tried to talk me into that.
But yeah.
I was going to go to Idaho, and then at the last minute I bailed out. And then I didn't have a job, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I just broke up with my girlfriend and didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was all confused and stuff. So anyway, I got a job at the hotel. I wasn't even a lifeguard. I was just like a pool boy. My brother always made fun of me, call me like cabana boy and stuff. but that's what I did for the summer. It was all right. And then went back to fall semester, UNLV after the summer.
Okay.
And then that's when I started like dating my wife, was in fall semester. And then we got engaged around like November, and then we got married January 2007. So...
So you started dating in October and got married in January?
Something like that.
When did you get engaged? But you knew her. You knew her when you got home, though. You met her.
Yeah, like I knew her, and she'd like been around. It's funny, we called her the apartment girlfriend because she had like gone on dates with everyone in the apartment. She hadn't really like dated anybody. She'd just like gone out with everybody in there.
Yeah.
I was like the last one, so. She always says she saved the best for last or something.
Yeah,
like, sure. So, yeah, it was funny. It's like my best friend is my roommate. He went on like 3 dates with her, and then a bunch of other guys have been on like 2 or 3 dates with her.
Yeah,
she always just hung out around there, so she's kind of always around.
Cool.
But yeah, she's really cool because she like did all the cool stuff, like extreme. We play like extreme softball, or like did like all the. We did extreme slip and slide at the park.
Mm-hmm.
She likes doing all that crazy stuff, so she's always hanging around with us. So, and she was actually a diver at UNLV. She's on the dive team.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's cool and adventurous and all that, so it was easy for us to get along.
Yeah, because you're cool and adventurous.
I guess so. She's cooler than I am. I just pretend to be cool with her. Yeah, so we got married in January, and then... we were both in college, UNLV, and then decided we wanted to have kids right away. So we got pregnant just like 3 or 4 months into the marriage, and had a baby. So the next year in February, so it was like 11 months after we got married, we had our first kid.
Yeah.
Blake. So he's 7 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My oldest is February 2008.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. We have the same age kids.
Yeah, exact same age. So, yeah, so he was our first kiddo, and so during that year, just same thing, so kept going to college. I was going to go to physical therapy school, was my plan, and so like my major was like exercise science and stuff, mm-hmm. and then like I took the GRE, and I like bombed it, and it was like terrible, and I had like a 3.9 GPA, and I was like, what's wrong with me? I should be able to take the GRE. Anyway, so then I was like, what do I even want to do with my life? And then... Someone's like, you should go to med school. And I was like, I don't want to go to med school. Doctors' lives are terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought about it a lot, prayed about it, and I decided I wanted to go to med school. So in 2008, I didn't change my major. I just had to take some extra classes, and then I actually ended up graduating in December of 2008. So that summer, I did a bunch of summer school, and I worked at the Tropicana again.
Okay.
This time I was actually like a lifeguard and a supervisor, so I actually made more money. But so it was more respectable than just being a cabana boy.
Is it so hot during the summertime?
So hot. It's ridiculously hot. Like my car didn't even have AC because it was so cold. Oh, and I bought it. I bought it just straight up because I was so cheap. So I saved money all the time. And I just like saved up $4,000 and bought it all at once. I just gave the lady a check. And then, but like, she's like, the AC doesn't really work, but you just need to fix this belt. But it was more than that. And I was like, whatever. So I just drove with no AC for like a year.
Can't imagine it.
I know, I can't imagine it now, but when you're young and I mean, I was whatever. Because by the time I drove there anyway, because it's so close, I lived on camp, like right by campus, uh-huh. And the Tropicana is so close.
Yeah.
Like by the time you get there, the AC barely even kicks in anyway. So.
Yep, that's right.
And rolling down the window makes it worse. It's like a blow dryer in your face. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so yeah, I worked there again in the summer. And then my wife worked at, she works at In-N-Out. She's worked there for a lot of years.
Okay.
And so we did that. And then she decided to just kind of support me. And then I applied to med school and I got in. And then, but you don't, can't start till the next year. So I graduated in December of 2008. And then didn't really have anything to do because, you know, I've been accepted to med school, but I had to wait 7 months before I could start. So we actually moved up to Smithfield with my in-laws. We lived in their basement and actually couldn't find a job and actually worked at DI for a while.
Yes.
For minimum wage, baby.
Yes.
A college degree. So it was all good. Then I got into like a physical therapy office. I worked there and I actually worked for the census. It was like for the 2010 census. My wife and I both did that.
Yeah.
Walked around with the little like machines and checked boxes where houses were and stuff. And anyway, that was interesting. We did that for a little while. But basically we were just killing time until I started med school.
Yep.
So we lived there for like 6 months. And then finally, it was time to like move out of the parents' basement, and so we moved to Colorado. It's a town called Parker, where my med school was.
Okay.
It's like South Denver area. So I went there and started med school. So that would have been July of 2009.
Okay.
I started med school.
When did you join the Air Force?
Oh yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
Tell my beard. I've been on leave for a week, so I'm growing my beard. Yeah. So. So when I got into med school, I was like, how the crap am I going to pay for this? It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, it's going to be $300,000 or something. So I'm like, that's ridiculous. So anyway, I went and talked to like all these military recruiters and stuff. And I just decided I was going to join the Air Force to help pay for my med school. So it was a sweet deal. It's a 4-year scholarship. They pay for your med school, then you just owe 4 years after.
Yeah.
And I prayed about it a lot, obviously. And then, like, I was reading my patriarchal blessing. It talks about, like, serving my country. I, like, never noticed that before.
Yeah.
I was like, how have I never seen this here before? So, anyway, I was like, I guess I was supposed to do it.
Good.
So I joined the Air Force.
What rank are you right now?
Right now I'm a captain.
Captain West.
Yeah. So when I started med school, I commissioned as a second lieutenant.
Because you had your degree.
Yeah, so you basically, like, you raise your hand, you're like, oh, you're second lieutenant now, you outrank most of the military. You're like, oh, wow, that was easy.
Yep. You can tell these senior master sergeants to get what to do.
Exactly. Like, what up, chief? Listen to me. Don't do that.
No.
So I commissioned as second lieutenant, and then they just paid for my med school. It was awesome. And I didn't really do anything. I just had to do, like, 4.5 weeks of officer training. One of my summers, but other than that, like, all through med school, I didn't really have to do anything for the military.
Yeah.
So then I started school, and And then in March of 2010, I had my second son, Carter. So he's born there in Colorado.
Hey, my second son was born in March of 2010.
Are you serious?
Yeah. March 13th. February 25th and then March 13th.
Yeah, he's March 26th. So he was born in March.
Okay.
And so had my second kid during med school. So
yes,
made it easier and easier on myself. and then in that summer, I started my third year of med school, and we actually chose to go to Utah Valley to do my third and fourth year to do my clinicals. So we moved to Provo, which I've never lived in Provo ever, never really been there much.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird for me.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked most of it. There's like some really weird people, like those like, because there's like all kinds of Mormons there, you know?
Yeah.
There's some of those like really weird Mormons, especially in my ward, because we lived in like, we lived on like 3rd South and 9th East area.
Okay.
I don't know if you know where that is, but yep. Right by where the state hospital and the water park is.
By Seven Peaks, yeah.
Yeah, so we lived there, and it's like this really like niche neighborhood where like everyone like knows each other, and everybody went to BYU together, and they're all like in some computer software engineering something or other.
Yeah.
Independently owned. I don't know. Everyone did like the same thing in my ward. And then there's me. I'm like this medical student, and they're like, "You're weird." And everyone's like into essential oils and home births. And I'm like, Heather's like, my wife Heather, she's like, "Give me an epidural at the hospital, please." Like, we were just like, we felt like we were the outcasts. In Provo, so felt like a weird person. So like my neighbor one day, she's like, "Can you look at my daughter's throat? I think she has strep." And I look in, and I'm like, it's like textbook strep. And she's like, "My mommy's been rubbing essential oil on my leg or something." And I'm just like,
yep.
"You need penicillin. I need you to amoxicillin. You're gonna get scarlet fever. Treat her." Anyway, it was weird. Like, people were nice to us. It was kind of weird. It was just different for sure. But, I mean, it's a beautiful place to live. We had good friends there and stuff, but yeah, you just have all different flavors of LDS people. I guess you could put it that way.
How long were you in Provo?
So I was there for 2 years.
So I think I saw you at like a Tucano's or something there.
Yeah. We did like a mission reunion in Salt Lake, I think.
No, I was there with my family and you were there with your family.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we did. I saw you there.
What are you doing in Provo?
I know. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, and then I went to one mission reunion when I lived there, mm-hmm. up in Salt Lake. It's like at the Tucano's in the mall or something.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people. I think Croshaw was there, and I can't remember who else was there. But yeah, that was fun. So I did third and fourth year. I worked at all the hospitals in Utah County, so like American Fork and obviously Utah Valley, and then down in Payson too, Mountain View and stuff. So just doing all the surgery, psychology, all that, just the standard rotations and stuff. So and then after that, trying to count the time. So then we went back to Denver. Just to graduate, and that would have been in May of 2013. But to back up, my third kid was born in October of 2012.
My third kid was September 2012.
Oh my gosh. Rick's on the same family plan, man.
And my fourth is due next week.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so... Crazy.
Do you have three boys?
Yeah, three boys.
Yep.
You do too, don't you?
Yeah, three boys, expecting a fourth boy.
Oh, man. we actually got pregnant a while ago, but it was an ectopic pregnancy. My wife had to have surgery to remove it, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she probably would be like 30 weeks right now, so just right behind you. So.
That's crazy.
So Zach was born October of 2012. And he was actually born with his left hand's completely fused together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called syndactyly. It was like complete syndactyly. So that was, we didn't know it was coming. We didn't see it on the ultrasound. So that was kind of a shock to us, but, kind of interesting, but he's had surgery once to separate his fingers. So he kind of has like the Ninja Turtle hand.
Yep.
Right now. But hopefully the plan to eventually separate them all, but yeah, he's an awesome kid. He's just,
is that just
amazing.
On one hand?
Yeah, just on one hand.
Okay.
And nothing else. Everything else is normal. So, but yeah, I gave him a blessing after he was born with my wife's dad, and it's like really powerful, like knowing that he was here for a reason and that like this challenge would make him stronger. It's kind of a cool experience. Kind of every time I've like given him a blessing since then, you feel really strong that it's like for a reason, and he's going to turn that weakness into a strength. So it's kind of cool. He's just an amazing kid. He's really changed our life.
Yeah. My third was in the NICU for a week after he was born.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like he couldn't breathe. So he was on.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Well, he's good now though.
Yeah. He's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's amazing. Kids, they're so resilient. I did like a month ago, I had a baby who like, I had to do CPR on for 3 minutes, like to basically bring it back to life.
Man.
And then it was like right after it was born. And then it was like totally fine. Didn't go to NICU or anything. I was like, how do you do that? It's amazing. Babies are amazing. Like,
yeah,
they're just
good.
Like supposed to live. So anyway. But yeah, so that was October. And then, like I said, kind of going forward, we're still in Utah. And then, yeah, we went back to Denver. So in like May, and that's when I graduated from med school. And then after I graduated, I came back here to Vegas for residency. So I'm doing a family medicine residency through the Air Force.
Okay.
So we moved here in.
So you graduated in May of 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now you have 4 years in the Air Force, really in the Air Force.
Yeah. So since I'm doing residency, though, that doesn't really count because it's a training program.
Okay.
So it's a 3-year residency program for training. And then after that, I owe 4 years.
Oh, geez.
So I'll have a total of 7.
You're selling your soul to the government, huh?
Yeah, it did. So you can do it one of two ways. You can sell it to the bank, or you can sell it to the government. So you can owe time or money. So.
Yep.
Because like my brother did med school too, and he owes like $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
My classmates, some of them with families over $300,000.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy.
Yep.
I got out of there with like only, how much did we take out? I think we have like less than $50,000 in debt. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's crazy how little it is. We'll be out of debt before, we'll probably be out of debt within like a year and a half.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't have any student debt.
Yeah, I didn't either until I went to med school.
Yeah, that's right.
My undergrad was fine. Med school is ridiculous. So, and plus having 3 kids along the way. I mean, if we didn't have kids, we would have been fine. But,
yeah.
Because I was even all stubborn. I didn't even put my kids on Medicaid or anything. I was paying for insurance and everything. And it was ridiculous. And then my in-laws are like, why are you doing that? You're going to pay for Medicaid for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Like, and she's like, and we're paying Medicaid like through our nose right now. You should just take advantage of it. So
yeah.
Finally, in my 4th year of med school, I put my kids on Medicaid. And then we were on Medicaid, and then they checked our bank account 6 months later, and we saved all this money because we're smart. And they're like, oh, no, you have too much money. And they took it all away. We lost all our benefits because we were frugal. And I was like, you guys suck. So I took away Medicaid from everyone in my family because we saved our money. Because they gave us like food stamps and everything.
Yeah. WIC.
So we weren't spending money on food. We weren't spending money on insurance. So we weren't spending money on anything. So we just like saved all our money.
Yeah.
And then they like checked our bank account and they're like, no, you guys have too much money. And they took it all away. It's like, you guys suck.
Yep.
And now I'm paying into it like crazy. So
yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, so in July of 2013 we moved here back here to Vegas. And I started residency. So that's been just a lot of hard work, especially the first year is just awful. It's just so bad. You just work like crazy.
Yeah.
I'd have weeks where I'd have 90 hours of work. There's times I worked 7 days straight, like 12 hours shifts. It was just like so bad.
Yeah.
But it does make you better, like for sure. Like I see why we do it. Because then, like, as a second year, you just know so much more as you work so much and you're just used to doing stuff.
Yeah.
So right now I'm in my, just finishing my second year of residency. So July 1st, I'll be a third year resident.
Yeah.
So then I'll just have one more year left of residency. And then I'll take my boards for family medicine.
Okay.
I'll be board certified in family medicine. And then I'll start my payback to the Air Force all of 4 years.
So
I can go.
Do you know they're going to just send you wherever?
You can make like your dream sheet.
Yeah.
Like where you want to go. Then they just send you wherever they want. So.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought about staying here in Vegas.
You should go up to Hill. Hill's a great.
Yeah, I know. The only problem is everybody wants to go there.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
family medicine. A lot of us, there's a lot of LDS people in the Air Force that do like family medicine. So, like my residency is like almost half LDS. It's crazy. Just tons of LDS people.
Yeah,
because they're in the same situation as me, right? They go to med school. They choose family medicine because it's family friendly. They join the Air Force because they can't pay for it because they have like 10 kids. And...
Yep. And the Air Force is the easiest branch.
Yep. Shortest deployment times, less time away from family.
That's right.
You don't really ever get shot at or anything.
Right.
So, so everyone has the same idea I did. So, tons of LDS people. Everyone wants to go to Hill because it's a beautiful place to live. And so, anyway, we're obviously going to we're going to rank it high, but the chances of us going there are pretty low.
You going to put it in overseas anywhere, like Europe?
We thought about it. We've kind of gone back and forth, but I think like my wife's a real homebody. She likes being around her family and I do too. I love being around my family. So, we decided we'll probably stay stateside if we can.
Plus like
is going to need more hand surgeries and stuff. So, we could probably play that card and stay stateside.
Yeah.
Where he has access to a hand surgeon. So he has to be seen like twice a year. But his surgeon's in Salt Lake, so we thought about playing that card to see if we could maybe get to Hill. But we'll see how it works out. But we loved Colorado. We don't mind going back there. There's a few bases there.
Yeah, live in Colorado Springs. It'll be fun.
Yeah, there's the Academy there, and there's Buckley by Denver. I think there's Peterson or something. I'll have to look. But there's also one in southern Idaho called Mountain Home, and there's a bunch in California and
I wouldn't
there's some in Arizona.
Home.
There's a bunch out west. So.
Mountain Home's too far away from everything. It's isolated.
Yeah, it's kind of out there. I've looked on the map. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I think it's between like Boise and Twin Falls or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of lonely.
Cool, man. Yeah,
we'll see where we go.
So that's exciting. That's been you got home in 2006. It's almost 10 years now since you've been home.
It has. It's crazy. It's gone by so fast. Can't believe it.
Cool. Anything else in the last 10 years, or are you ready to jump into the mish?
Oh, man, there's been so much. But, yeah, that's the gist of it. Summarize in 20 minutes. Yeah, that's my life in the last 10 years.
Well, that's what it is. This is all a reader's digest.
Exactly. It's a condensed version for sure. So
yeah, it's a... 110 degrees outside this weekend. We got a weather warning watch, a heat advisory.
I know it's every day we get like black flag or whatever warning condition it is.
You know the fire that was happening in North Las Vegas the other day? Did you see the smoke or anything?
I just got back. We were camping for a whole week.
There was a fire in North Las Vegas a block away from where I work.
Oh, really?
It was just plumes of smoke, and then, it was a big deal because I work for the Department of Energy where they have all that stuff. So do you go out to the range, like at Indian Springs or anything, or you just work in a hospital? You're not really there as an Air Force person doing Air Force stuff.
I kind of am, but mostly I just live in the hospital.
Okay.
So. But we do rotations like downtown, like at Sunrise Hospital and stuff too. Get more exposure. Like work at the Children's Hospital and the Children's ER. We do trauma and stuff. But most of my stuff's just here on base at the hospital.
Okay.
That's where I spend most of my life. So.
Cool. All right. So let's jump back to 2004.
Yep.
And we'll go through your first year, area by area, and start in the MTC, and then who all your companions were, who you live in the house with, maybe a couple of stories from each area, and we'll take a break, a 5-minute break, like at a year mark.
Sounds fantastic.
And then I'll call you back, and then we'll finish.
Sounds good.
So what's your report day?
So my report day, I believe it was January 21st.
Okay.
Or January 18th. I can't remember. Either I came home on those days or so the day I left. Those are the 2 days I remember from January. So I went to the Reno airport, got on the plane. It's like, see you later, family.
Yeah.
Then I flew to like Chicago or something. Met up with some other guys going down there. Actually, another Elder West was there. We all flew down to Brazil. I actually didn't sit by any of the other missionaries. Sat by some business guy from Brazil that spoke English really well. Mm-hmm. And he talked to me all about Brazil and its culture and stuff. So that was kind of cool. Got to the MTC. Of course, like everyone else, totally just like disoriented and like, what the heck am I doing? I'm so lost. Some stranger could just pull up in a van and be like, get on. I'm like, okay. like, you have no idea. I was like, I hope these people are really from the MTC in this shady looking van. you just blind faith. You're like, whatever. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm so lost. Let's get in the van, go to the MTC.
Middle of the summer, right?
Yeah. So yeah, January. So I went from whatever, freezing in Reno where I flew out from to, I can't stop sweating.
Uh-huh.
And I met up with the guys in my district. So the people in my district were Ellis and Lee. Those were the only two going to João Pessoa, just the three of us.
Okay.
The rest of my district was, I think they're going to like Salvador. That's where the mission, they're going to Salvador.
Who else in the MTC was going? Who else was in your group coming to, on the mission?
As far as Americans, that was it.
So just
the three of us.
Three Americans in your group?
Yeah. And the Brazilians were, it was like Romualdo, Bento, Rodrigo. I can't remember the rest of them right now. I was trying to write them down. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Because I came home by myself too. So I didn't like have like that last meeting.
Who's Romualdo? Anyway,
Romualdo? You don't remember Romualdo?
I can't put a face to the name.
Oh, how do you describe him? He was in. I'm blanking on the city. What's the city that has like Catolé and Centenario? Campina Grande. He's in Campina Grande a whole bunch. Oh, he was with. He lived with us with Fabio in Nova Natal.
Oh, that's what he is. Okay, good. Yeah. I knew that name. I know him. I just couldn't remember the face.
Yeah. He lived with us.
Yep. Waldo and Fabio. Yeah, so we'll get there.
So those guys were the Brazilians. He actually was my roommate for like a day or two, and then like they moved him or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
But he had a different name in MTC, like all the Brazilians did. You know,
mm-hmm.
They all changed their names. From the MTC to the field, it's all the same names.
Yep.
So those are the guys in my group. So it's just as far as Americans, just the three of us, the whole MTC going to Brazil or going to João Pessoa. So,
okay. Drinking some we had a really strawberry good yogurt drink and.
Yeah. You know, like everyone else, you go grab the liver, you think it's beef, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is liver.
Yep.
I did that like three times. I fell for the same trick. I just like load my plate up with like, oh, this is like fajita meat. It looks so good. And then like it's liver and I'm like, oh, for the love. Three times they tricked me with that. Oh, but I like the MTC. I was district leader there. Not okay. Initially, but
who was your companion? Called me.
What's that?
Who was your companion?
It was Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. So Lee was my companion. Then our district leader got called to be AP. Then I was district leader. And like reading through my journal, getting ready for this, I was like, man, I was like so stuck up. Like, I bet they hated me. I was like so strict. I like, had in my mind, I'm like, I'd be this perfect missionary.
Yeah, you feel sorry for MTC district leaders, you know? Because they get all this responsibility, and they don't know anything either.
Yeah. I know.
But
it was just like...
And there's so many rules.
Like, everyone's like so cringy, you know? You just like have to like follow every rule. And I was like living it to the T, man. I'm like reading my journal, like, man, I was just like... I was like, I think I was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Should have had a little bit more fun in the MTC, but I mean, I enjoyed being there. I love playing basketball there, like on their 9-foot rims and stuff. but yeah, I had fun in the MTC. That was a good time. We had a good district. We were really close. We got along really well. Anyway, so that was the MTC. And then, so that was January. And then, so in March, came up to Brazil. So came up to João Pessoa. And I was with the group that came with us was like, I think it was like Elder Jason and Florentino and I forget the rest of them, but that was the group that came with us, so like the group behind us, the Brazilians.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went to Martin's house, like his mansion with his Chrysler.
In the pool.
Yeah, and all that cool stuff. Yeah. So we went to his house and that was kind of cool. And then I remember he came up to me and he was like, Elder West, have you ever seen the other side of heaven? I was like, yes, President. He's like, that's your first area. I was like, okay. Like, you're going to Lucena with Elder Eve. It'll be great. And I was like, okay.
You had to take a boat there, right?
Yeah. So he like went up to like, you know, went through João Pessoa and then you go up by Cabedelo. Mm-hmm. And you get on the little ferry and like I met up with Eve and he was new to the area too, so we were like whitewashing it together and oh my gosh, I was so confused. I had no idea what's going on. I was just like out of my mind lost, and like we're riding this boat and everyone's talking Portuguese and we pull up to Lucena and it's like seriously like the other side of heaven.
Yeah,
like, there's all these like chickens and goats and like all these like half naked people. And, like, everyone's just, like, staring at me. So I'm, like, this 6'3" giant.
Yeah.
Everyone's just, like, staring at me. Oh, my gosh. I felt so out of place. And, like, so we were brand new to the area. And I was, like, how does he know what he's doing? Like, how does he know where to go?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And do you know Eve at all?
I never was lived with him or I never was his companion. But I... was around him some, just like,
yeah, so he's like the nicest guy, but he's just like, he didn't explain things to me like at all. And so I was just like so confused all the time. Like he wouldn't tell me like what to buy to eat or like how to like do any like the basic survival skills.
Yeah.
So I was just like so confused. And I don't know, but he's so nice to me and everything, but I was just so confused all the time. I remember we like found the ward mission leader and he like told him around the area to explain the area to him. And I just like walked behind him and I was just like staring off into the ocean. I'm like, why? What am I doing? I'm so confused. But yeah, that was, I just remember like sweating through my pants and stuff. And like, it was so ridiculous. I couldn't stop sweating. It was just like out of control sweating. Anyway, it was good. And then I remember Eve would never, he wouldn't drink the juice. And so I was like, should I drink the juice? I was like, is it good? He's like, it's absolutely delicious. And I was like, I don't know if I should drink the juice or not. But he never did. He never drank the juice anywhere we went. But I did. I was like, it is absolutely delicious. Anyway, I was just so confused. I was only there for 5 weeks.
Okay.
And we had one like really good baptism. I think we only had like, we baptized a mom and her kid. It was really cool, like, because we were just walking in the street one day and they just like called us over and she's like, hey, what is like Santos dos Últimos Dias? What does that mean? And so we like explained it to her and she was like the most amazing contact ever. And we baptized her and her son. And actually her son just, it's so crazy because he's only like 8 at the time, And he just like got back from a mission and he's like going to get married. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, I just remember like this little, you know, he's like barely 8 or whatever.
Yep.
It's like, there's no way he's old enough to have already gone on a mission and come back. But, so yeah, that was a really cool baptism. And she was like, she's in rock solid. I still like keep in contact with her today. So that was cool. That was like my first baptism. I got to do it and stuff. And that was like my, I felt like a real missionary. I kind of got to baptize somebody.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was there for 5 weeks and then, I remember Eve called and he's like, oh, you're being transferred. And I was like, okay. I was like, it's not even transfer time yet. I've only been here 5 weeks. He's like, ah, transfers happen every week.
Yeah, they do. Why do they happen every week?
I never got transferred on the normal 6 week cycle.
You didn't. Yeah. You got out of Juampus or out of Natal. Like, and we didn't, our APs didn't even tell us.
I was involved in like every emergency transfer.
You were, because we got emergency transferred to out of Tycho too.
Every time, it was like, I'm like, oh hey, Elder West, you're being transferred on Monday. It never happened ever. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so yeah, after 5 weeks, I got transferred to. I went to Mangabeira.
Who's your companion?
And I was Elder Baptista.
Okay,
remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have very much time left. But I guess he and his companion have been getting along very well. I don't know what's going on. He was super nice to me. He was, like, so nice to me. But he didn't speak a lick of English. And he had, like, that really, like, deep... I think he was from, like... Wasn't he from Salvador or something?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I can't remember. He had this really, like, deep accent. He kind of mumbled when he talked. And I just walked around. He's like, do you understand me? I was like, yeah, yeah, I understand you. I didn't understand it. But he made me turn my ears on, and I had to try really hard. But I learned a lot of Portuguese that week.
Good.
See, I was only with him for a week. well, because then it was normal transfer time. Right? So, like, normal transfers happen. So he transferred out.
And then you had to show your new companion the area?
Yeah, yeah, after a week. And I'd only been out for 6 weeks.
Good luck.
And my new companion was Mayorga. And he only been out for... 7 months total in Natal, yeah. And he was just being called to be senior.
Yeah,
and it was the month of May, so there's like all this pressure to baptize, right? And so there's me. I don't even like speak Portuguese yet. I don't know the area at all. And then we have Mayorga, who's only been in Natal, where they baptize like crazy.
Yeah,
and he comes down. He's like so excited. He's like, "We're gonna baptize the world." And I was like, "All right, let's do it." And then like we don't speak Portuguese at all. No one can understand what we're saying. And oh my gosh, we worked so hard. We didn't baptize anyone the whole month. Oh man.
I've never worked so hard. Mayorga came into my area. I started in Natal, Nova Natal. And then I was there for 6 weeks and then he came in as a new one.
Yeah.
And so I was acting like I knew everything. And like he didn't know anything and I was only there for 6 weeks. I know everything. I'm baptized every week, you know?
Oh, man. I mean, that's... Oh, man, we worked so hard. Like,
that's hard.
Mayorga, like... Oh, man, he, like, had that fire in his bones. Like, we just... We talked to everyone in the street. We taught lessons all day. We, like, made these crazy goals. Like, we're going to baptize 5 people this week. Nothing. Like, nothing. We didn't baptize anyone all month. And he was just, like... By the end of the month, he was just, like, so drained because he felt so bad. Because he just wanted to baptize so bad. He's like, yeah. I'm going to ask President to... He's like, I want to be junior again. I can't do this anymore. I was like, no, Marga, you're the best, man. But no, I love Marga. We got along so well. It was such a great learning experience. We worked so hard. But yeah, it was great being with him. And the month of May was just crazy. We did like divisions like all the time. Like I had Elder Briozo come with me for a week. I was with Elder Foster for like a day. And then I remember like Elder Gardner and Jason like came to our area for a while. I don't know. It was like so many people were in and out.
Yeah. Who else was in your house? Was it just you?
I lived with Trey Thorne and Michaelis.
Okay.
Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I lived with those two. They were cool. So it was a good house. We spoke way too much English.
Yep.
Which didn't help me learn at all.
Nope.
But man, we had fun though. That was a good house. I had a lot of fun there. And I remember I got a really bad ingrown toenail, like my first one of many during the mission.
You always had one.
I was cursed. It's those darn shoes I bought. Anyway, so I remember like me and Michaelis, we stayed up late one night, we're like trying to pull my ingrown toenail out, and it hurts so bad. And I went to this Dr. Scholl's place. I was like, oh, this is a good place. It's like an American name, right? They'll take good care of me. No. They like didn't give me any, they didn't even numb my toe. They just like went in there and ripped it out. Oh, oh my gosh. I like almost passed out from the pain. Like my face went pale. And my Argo was sitting next to me. Like his face was priceless. He was just like, oh. He bought me a candy bar after because he was proud of me. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. So I had a lot of fun at Mangabeira. It was a great area. The ward was awesome. Story from there. What's that?
Where is that?
It's in like the João Pessoa area. I think it's in the zone João Pessoa. I'd have to look at the map. I can't remember.
I don't know exactly anything about João Pessoa.
Somewhere in João Pessoa. It's like not in the big city though. It's not like a big city area.
All right. Outskirts.
I guess what you call the suburbs. I don't know what you'd call it. But yeah, I loved it there. But I remember one day we had those little tanquinhos like to do our washing.
Uh-huh.
And one day we like heard this weird noise coming from it. Like, what the heck is that? And we're like trying to look underneath it and figure out what's going on. We pick it up and there's like this cat that's like half dead under there. And like we go to like move it and it's like, but it can't move because it's like legs are broken or something. So we're like, what do we do with this? Like, well, we got to kill it. Put it out of its misery. Like, how are we going to kill this cat? So we got like our marble tabletop. It was super heavy. And we're going to drop it on its head and kill it. But like, we couldn't do it. Like, none of us could just... No one could pull the trigger. I was like, here, let me do it. And I couldn't do it either. So we went, like, told our branch president lived across the street. So we went and told him about it. So he came over and, like, grabbed it and put it in a trash bag and took it away. I'm like, oh, he'll go kill it. Then he, like, nursed it back to health and stuff. But then, like, died a week later. We're like, oh, we're terrible people. Yeah. We were just going to kill it. Oh, that was awesome. But yeah, so I loved it there. Then after Mangabeira, that was in May. We didn't really baptize anybody. And then we had the huge party in June. Mm-hmm. And then that's where we all that craziness. And then we had the massive transfers. And then that's when I went to Kaiko.
The bus to Kaiko.
So we got on the bus. We listened to like that Michael McLean CD like 100 times. I don't know if you remember that. It was just like on repeat. It just kept going over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The whole way out there. So we went to Kaiko and like I didn't know anybody. Like I hadn't seen anyone. Everyone was all new to me. It was me and you and then McDowell and Snell. And oh man, that was so awesome. I just love that house.
That was an ideal house in an ideal time.
Oh my gosh. That was like some of my best memories.
Like the highest vaulted ceilings with the cool mornings and the fans. Yeah. And then we'd have members over cooking pizzas for us. And we'd invite Price over and we'd play board games while we listened to whatever bands Price had on CD.
Yeah. I remember like I was reading in my journal and like I wrote about playing Uno. Like it was that important to me.
Yeah.
I almost beat Price. We had to like go to a tiebreaker and then he finally beat me and I was like so upset I lost. So apparently it was really important that Uno games we had a Geico.
We had crazy parties. Man.
What's that?
And the sisters lived across the street. No, they didn't.
Yeah, but no. The sisters all moved out, remember?
Sisters moved out like the first week.
Yeah.
Like there was some eight sisters living in that apartment.
Yeah. Just like, I think it was like Bascom and I can't remember who was there.
Oh, there's anyway, like a Hoberry there and then a bunch of sisters that were going home.
Yeah.
And then so that was fun. Whitewashing that area though. We didn't know anything about their area.
Oh yeah, all four of us were brand new. Uh-huh. We didn't know anything about the area. But yeah, because like Price and Birch and those guys and then it was like Baliero. They all lived across the street, right?
Yeah. Birch wasn't across the street. Like Mateos was across the street, I think.
Oh, that's right. It was Mateos. They're all in the area.
Bryce and Mateos and the other Brazilian.
De Cunha?
Ticuna, I think, was the other.
It was Ticuna.
And then I think there was a Sequeira. I remember someone, maybe it was Piri's, that was, he showed us the area, and he's like, go over there, that's where you're going to baptize. And he pointed like João Vinci Três, which wasn't even our area.
No.
We had like the center of Bahia or of Kaiko.
Oh man, we're all over the place in Kaiko. It
we
was
walked
awesome.
So much.
Oh, walked there. And then there's like the Rua do Macaco.
Oh, do you that? Remember that? That was the craziest road. Road?
Like, I took let's your walk, picture on that.
Let's walk from Paulo Sesta. No, what was that? Castelo Branco. All the way back to town through this around about way with nothing there. What was the point of that?
I don't know. There was, we were all over that place. We like owned that city.
Taking moto taxis everywhere.
Yeah,
baptizing
we had to,
all the contacts that the sisters left us.
Yeah, we'd have lunch like an hour away. It's like, yeah, let's get a moto taxi.
I remember one time I got separated from you at a stoplight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like standing, like you were behind me and you stopped at a stoplight, your moto taxi did. And so I'm like, I hope Wes knows where we're going because I'm standing here by myself.
I probably didn't. I was probably like, follow him. Oh, man.
So what are your favorite memories of Kaiko?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start with Kaiko. So many memories. I think I put it on the Facebook page. Remember when? Do you remember that nasty sink that we cleaned out?
That was the worst thing. That. Worst smell I've ever smelled.
So, yeah, like, apparently the trap is all under the sink there.
Yeah, instead of having a garbage disposal, they just had some trap that hasn't been emptied in 20 years. I
know. It was like, what is that smell coming from our apartment? We looked all over. We opened that bucket. I almost puked, like, right when I opened it. So, like, me and McDowell cleaned it out. So I tied those dish towels around my face so it covered my nose and my mouth.
Well, I had the spatula. And I'd dig the spatula in the bucket, and you would hold a plastic bag out, and I'd dump this muck into this plastic bag, and it was so gross.
Oh, my gosh. We got, like, 3 bags out of there. It was so gross.
Yep.
And then it smelled even worse for, like, 3 days after that, because we'd released it all. Oh, so bad. And then, do you remember that time that Snell chased those dogs down the street?
Oh, and the car came running out and ran over a dog. And then we all felt so bad afterwards. Like, we just killed that dog.
I felt so bad. Oh, man. But it was so funny in hindsight. We chased that whole pack of dogs. That car came around the corner and just like took it out. Oh man. Snell's like, here, watch this. Like, Snell, you killed that dog, man.
Were we drinking Guaraná das Amazonas from the Rodoviaria at that point?
We always were. I don't know. Once we found those, we did it every single night. It was like a rich...
And there was so much caffeine in that, I would just stay up for hours. My heart would be all pounding.
I just went to sleep after, which is weird because I never even drink caffeine. But oh man, those were so good. We just sit there and talk to that lady every night. Mm-hmm. Like whenever we went in, what time did we go in? I don't know.
Yeah, 9:30 or something.
10, whatever.
Yeah, we just hang out on the patio of the church, like every evening. Like it's dark, we don't do anything. Let's go to the church, and there was something always happening at the church.
Always.
And there's always big frogs that we could go kick.
Yeah. I forgot about the frogs.
You forgot kicking frogs? That was the best.
I remember kicking frogs. But yeah, we were... that was an awesome place because you and I were in the Young Men's Presidency.
That's right. Yeah, we were like the counselors.
Like second counselors in the Young Men's.
And Snell was in the bishopric.
Yeah, Snell was like second counselor in the branch presidency.
Branch presidency, yeah.
And then McDowell was like the 12 to 14 year old Sunday school teacher or whatever.
Yeah.
So we like own the youth in that ward.
Oh, we
which
baptized.
Is good. We added like 40 of them.
Do you remember the branch president asked us to baptize Moses?
I don't remember that.
He's like, we have so many young men.
Oh yeah,
because
that's
right. All the sisters would baptize was a bunch of young men.
Yeah.
He's like, guys, go out and baptize Moses. We don't have any Moses in this ward. And that was the only time that anybody's ever asked for that. Said we need more.
That's true. Because, yeah, the young women's organization was hurting. But young men's was just like, it was crazy.
No, it's awesome.
There's so many young men in that ward.
Yeah, that was way fun.
They were good. I remember our first baptism there was Paulo. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
We was like, you're like, let's turn down this street. And then we like found that kid. He was like, that kid was solid, man.
I did a magical trick.
Yeah, you always did that. Where you like put it on the ground.
Most people don't even understand what I was doing.
Dude, I love that trick. I used that trick after I left. And I was a senior. I used to do that card trick sometimes.
That was a magical road, though. Like, we were on our way to João Vinci Trace before we crossed the river. Like, let's go this way. And we walk down this road and stop at this one kid. And then we baptized like 6 people on that road.
Oh, I know. And we almost got that whole family. Like Paulo, we got him and his little brother. I don't think we got his mom, but she was close.
No.
So I almost got the whole family.
I never baptized any families.
I know you didn't, Rick.
I did. I baptized a couple on my, I baptized like 3 families in my mission. So.
Yeah, because I remember in Nova Natal, I was like, Rick, I really want to baptize a family, man. And you're like, all right. Oh man,
what do you expect? Yes. I was a kid and I was used to talking to kids and I didn't know how to talk to adults.
yeah so we baptized so many good, just like 14 16 year olds.
Yeah, we baptized some of those kids that were like always going to scout camp and stuff.
Yeah
that was fun. That was a fun area. Yeah, and Brucey.
Yeah, good old Brucey.
We'd go over to his house and he'd make us chocolate and we'd watch Avril Lavigne music videos.
Oh, yeah. And he'd always be like, I wish I had your accent. And I was like, I don't. He's like, your accent's so beautiful.
Oh, man, Brucey. He had such a shape, though.
Oh, I know. And I was just like, oh, but... I mean, he introduced us to tons of people. We got lots of baptisms through him. And,
yep.
And
we went hiking up to the top of that mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Joelma and Dagia?
Dagia! Was she the one that drank wine? Was she that one?
No, Dagia was that first member that we came across. The first person talked to in Castelo Blanco. We were just walking around blind. And she's like, Elders! Come in. And we're like, all right, somebody.
Like, we don't know anybody, sure. Yeah.
Dagia!
Yeah, do you remember that girl we were teaching? I thought she was a member. She's inactive. She's like, oh, elder. Eu bebi vinho.
Oh, elder. That's Dagia. That's Joelma. No, was that her name? I don't know. She went hiking with us, though.
Yeah, she's in the picture. I know, I sent that picture home, and Mom's like, who's that sister missionary? I'm like, that's not a sister missionary.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Like, we were doing so many random things.
I was like, that sounds bad when you put it that way.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about stuff like that. I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, we were having a great time.
Oh, man, that's so much fun. The members just loved us there.
Yep.
They were so nice to us. They fed us so much food, and they helped us so much. I love that place. It was awesome.
Yep.
But then emergency transfers happen.
Yep.
And you and I went to Nova Natal.
I'm going
to
have Hendrix on in a month or two, and he's going to talk all about what happened in Nova Natal.
He knows better than I do.
Yeah. Well, Paulson talked about it a little bit, I think. No, it was Maurer that talked about it. I don't know. Someone talked about
it. Yeah. Yeah, so we went to Nova Natal, and you had your one-year anniversary there. You're like, I was born here. You made 1 year, and then you died there too, right?
Yep.
It was like your home forever.
So yeah, we and you, we got transferred. Well, we switched places with the sisters again.
Yeah.
So we took the sisters' place because Kaiko, someone got someone pregnant years before.
Yeah, way back when.
And then they took all the elders out of Kaiko except for out on Villa de Principe. and then we were the first elders in Kaiko. I remember walking in that area and talking to someone that knew the lady that got pregnant from that missionary and stuff.
And we
like
met
that.
Her.
Yeah, we met her. That's right.
Yeah, and someone's like, "Dude, that's her." And we're like, "Oh!" We even saw the little El Drazino.
Yep.
And we're like, "That's him!" Like, "Oh, it's true.
It's true."
Like, run away, run away.
Let's get out of this area. They know us here.
Oh, man. And we met this, I remember we met this girl. I put it in my journal. I saw it. I was skimming through. She was 13, and she was like, she was standing behind one of those half doors, you know?
That was in Castelo Blanco. Like,
oh. Yeah, she opened the door, and she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Oh, yeah, I was baptized last year. Oh, yep. Now I'm pregnant." I'm like, "Oh, great." So that was really sad.
That was a crazy place.
That was awesome. I love that place. We had so much fun with Snell and McDowell. Oh, man. So much fun.
All right.
Love that place.
We could talk about Kaiko. Oh, is there any other Kaiko story? Oh, yeah. We would go eat hamburgers down at a hamburger spot down by the river somewhere. And they had garlic mayonnaise. And it was so good. And I'd put garlic mayonnaise like on every single bite of my hamburger.
And there's this one, guy. He was like in the branch presidency of another branch. Yeah. And he would like feed us for free.
Yeah, Valgier, I think his name is.
Valgier, yeah.
We go to Prasa or Plaza or whatever you say. Prasa?
Yeah.
And he'd give us free food. That was amazing.
And it was like good stuff too. It was like, oh, so good. I remember that. I wrote it. That was in my journal too. I was like, he gives like a 17 hayal meal for free. I'm like, this dude's awesome.
Yeah, and then there was like a Pituba. Do you remember that guy?
I don't know.
He was a friend. There was a bunch of like young men that we just hang out with all the time because we were the
I remember there's so many cool people there. Yeah, I love that place. And I remember the members were, they were really sad when they found out we were leaving. They're like, "Oh, you guys are the first elders forever. We love you guys."
And then the sisters came back and they were all sad.
I know. I love that place. Oh, I was like one of the best times of my mission. Skyco. Oh, it was so much fun. I just remember Elder Baliero. That guy was awesome. Do you remember him?
Baliero was in... he was... Was Baliero there?
Yeah, he was there. And he had like this... he had this like trainamento and he was like a drill sergeant. He was like screaming at us.
Yeah.
And he'd always do like the blood sport thing where he'd like fall down on his knees and be do, like that face.
Yeah, what's his name? Jean-Claude Van Damme face. Where he'd, that was so good. I lived with Baliero when I came back because I went to Nova Natal and then I went straight back to Kaiko.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was with, I was zone leader with Pickett and Baliero was with Pickett and I was with Lopes.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah. I went to Nova Natal and then straight back to Kaiko.
It's where you lived, Rix. Yeah.
It's okay. Let's go to Nova Natal.
It's Nova Natal.
Who do we live with?
So my memories of Nova Natal is going there with you and you went and like visited like the gypsies and like all these people you'd baptized and they're all like, "Yeah, I don't go to church anymore." And I was like, "This is the most depressing day of my life."
Yeah.
And then you're like, then on day two, you're like, "All right, I'm tired of this. Let's get to work." And then just went back to just finding people and baptizing people. I didn't like Nova Natal as much as Kaiko. I was kind of sad that we left.
It was a depressing time, too, because the bishop was, like, replaced.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't the bishop, like, go inactive because he got offended? And so they had a replacement bishop. And there's a bunch of factions of the ward. And the ward got...
did not like the bishop.
The ward got split from Bo Esperanza and Nova Natal. And Nova Natal was like the more depressed side of that the main split road. And Bo Esperanza was all upbeat and happy. I don't know. When I was with you there, we would work on both sides of the road. Was it all one ward at that point?
I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't know that area at all. That was my first time in Natal.
Yeah.
And I just like was following your lead because you like knew every road and every person.
Yep.
And I was like, "All right, I'm just going to follow Rick's." So yeah, I just felt kind of out of my element
Yeah, it is depressing to go back to Nova Natal.
It was depressing.
Our great area. But we had some great times in Nova Natal.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we still had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun there. I remember Hendrix was there, and he'd like playing his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then like people would always like. I remember one time someone was like, something about Bush. People always say stuff about President Bush.
Yeah.
And Hendrix is like, "Hey man, that's my uncle."
We baptized so Elvis there.
Yeah, Elvis Presley. Yeah. We baptized Elvis Presley. I remember that. Can't remember what else. I had to write some stuff down. I can't remember.
Sometime this drunk guy like fell backwards and like was laying on his back and couldn't get up. And so we saw it happen in like slow motion. And we just sat there laughing forever at this guy.
Because he fell in front of a fence outside a house where there were dogs.
Yeah.
And the dogs were barking at him, and he was on the ground like he's being attacked by the dog, like flailing his arms and legs. And he like dropped his bags and whatever. And then he just like got up and then like walked away.
And then there was a mouse in my suitcase.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden you're going through your drawers and you open your drawer and there's a ton of baby mice.
Oh, yeah.
Just a whole nest.
And they chewed up my letters. Mm-hmm. Like, but it was amazing though, because they didn't actually chew up. They chewed up the envelopes around the letters and left my letters. And I was like, dude, that is like amazing. This is like from my friends and my family and everything. All the letters I had during the mission were all in that bottom drawer. But yeah, I opened up took out that bottom drawer, and there's like all these little pink newborn mice, and they're all like squeaking at me. I was like, oh, this is so gross. So I got a plastic bag over my hand, and I grabbed the whole nest with all of them, and I went and threw it in the trash.
And that night, its mom was like squeaking all over the house.
Oh, so bad.
That was a dirty house.
So gross. Like, I was looking at my journal, and I wrote that there was like mouse droppings in my sheets one day, and I was like, this has got to stop. Yep. Like, that means the mouse was crawling on me last night as I slept.
So gross.
Oh, we bought mouse traps. We never caught it, though.
No.
Oh, so gross. Because it was in the Guadalupe or whatever.
It was in my suitcase, and I opened up my suitcase, and it jumped out at me.
Yeah, I remember that. Freaking mouse. Oh, and then like sometimes it would be like in the oven, and oh, we can never catch that stupid mouse.
And then we had Fabio and Humwaldo. Which were interesting guys.
Gosh, that was interesting. Like when they got up at 4 in the morning to go watch the Olympics.
Yep. No, to go watch. No, what happened was we go over to Wilza's house. You know, there's Wilza's. And we go over there. And we were going to go over there just to hang out.
Yeah.
Maybe watch some Olympics. Stop it. Don't touch. Don't touch. Go get the sword. Go take it away. So we go over there. Fabio and Humwaldo are getting their nails done by Wilza and some other girls while they're watching underwater. No, it was water synchronized swimming. It was synchronized swimming, like a bunch of these weird, like swimming around while they're getting their nails. I think they were getting their feet done too.
They were getting, I remember now, they're getting nanny pedis.
Nanny pedis.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
And we were like, what the heck is going on there? Let's go baptize some people. Oh, man.
And then you got sick, and I didn't let you be sick. And you almost fainted a couple times.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot how bad it was. But I was reading today, and I was like, I was sick for a whole week. I lost like 10 pounds in a week.
Yep.
And like I had like the wicked diarrhea. And like I just couldn't eat at all, and like you never let me sleep, you never let me stay in, and we just kept working every day. And I remember we like sit down at a lesson, and like I'd do like my part of the lesson, and then I'd just like lean my head back in the chair and like zone out, just waiting to listen for you to pause, and I'd start doing my part of the lesson.
Do you have this in your journal where we were teaching some lesson? You lean back in the chair, and the leg snaps, and you fall backwards. And then
I don't think I wrote that down, but I remember that. We were teaching someone brand new, first discussion.
First discussion.
And I'm sitting in one of those plastic chairs. And all of a sudden, it just like, bam, like gives out.
An explosion.
And I fell on the ground, and there's like no recovering from it.
No. Like, I think we just left. It's like, that's a 10 hay owl chair. These people don't have 10 hay eyes.
I should have offered to pay for it. We just walked away.
We walked away.
I felt so bad after. I was like, I just snapped their chair. Like, I know, I just lost 10 pounds.
That's funny.
Oh, man. I remember, yeah, just being so sick. Just working through it. Oh, man. I got sick, like, once a transfer. I just get, like, that wicked diarrhea.
Oh, yeah. In Kaiko, I started my dream journal, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, dreams, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Rick, do you have a real journal? You're like, no, just a dream journal.
I didn't have a real journal for months. Well, I didn't in Kaiko because everything was happy.
That's true.
I mean, I wrote so much when I was with Gualberto because I was a brand new senior missionary, and yeah. I was just complaining with living with Ahiesh and Gualberto. Get me out of here.
Oh, man. No, I tried to write just as much good as bad, like in my journal. I wrote something about every day I was there. Like, I didn't write every day, but I'd go back and at least put something I did.
I haven't gone back to look at my journal since I started this.
Oh, really?
This is just all off of memory right now.
All off memory. I had to go through it. Actually, when you started doing this, I was like, man, this is awesome. So I actually went through and like started reading the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't quite finish, so I like kind of skimmed through that the last couple of days since you asked me just to kind of catch up on the rest of my mission. But
So I celebrated my year in Nova Natal. Was that a regular? No, that wasn't a regular transfer. That was another emergency transfer for you.
It was another emergency transfer when I left.
Amazing.
Every time. I'm serious. Like, it was never like that typical, hey, you're getting transferred on Monday. It was never.
Where were you
my whole mission
when you got your luggage stolen from the church?
Yeah, that was right after. So I left. It was another emergency transfer for whatever reason.
Where'd you go?
What's that?
Where'd you go?
So I went from Nova Natal to Castelo Branco in João Pessoa.
Okay.
It's not like big city, but it was like close to the city. And so I went there and I was actually with, I can't even remember now. Because we were in there in July in Nova Natal. And then in September. Yeah. That's right. So like Elder, what was his name? He changed his name a few times on the mission. Anyway, he came out and he's like, West, where are you? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Kimura's waiting for you in João Pessoa. I was like, why is he waiting for me? He's like, you're being transferred and Brix is getting a Novenio. And I was like, what are you talking about? Anyway, like called the office and they're like, couldn't get a hold of him. It was a mess.
We borrowed the bishop's car to take us to the hotel.
Oh my gosh. I seriously had to like beg, borrow, and steal to get back to the office. It was crazy. Like, I ended up with like the state president from Potengi or something. I can't remember. It was like this crazy chain of events that finally got me to João Pessoa. I didn't get to the mission office till like 9:30 at night. And like, because I got to João Pessoa. And like I'm still pretty new, and I'm like trying to figure out what to do. I keep calling the office, no one's answering, and finally, like at 9:30, someone picked me up and took me back to the office. So I was like, I was alone like the entire day traveling by myself as a missionary.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, I don't know, got to do what I got to do, I guess. I went to Castelo Branco. So I showed up on Tuesday morning, and I had all my bags with me at zone meeting.
Hold on, let's do this. I don't want these files to get too long, so let's take a 5-minute break right now, and I'll call you back in 5 minutes, and we'll start at the bag getting stolen. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
Ela se jogou da janela do quinto andar. Quando nascemos fomos programados a receber o que vocês nos empurraram com os enlatados dos USA de 9 a 6. Desde pequenos nós comemos lixo comercial, industrial. Mas agora chegou a nossa vez, vamos cuspir de volta o lixo em cima de vocês. Somos filhos da revolução, somos burguês sem religião. Nós somos o futuro da nação. Geração Coca-Cola. Depois de 20 anos na escola, não é difícil aprender. Todas as manhãs seu jogo sujo. Não é assim que tem que ser. Vamos fazer nosso dever de casa, e aí então vocês vão ver suas crianças derrubando reis. Fazer comédia no cinema com as suas leis. Somos filhos da evolução, somos burguês sem religião. Nós somos o futuro da nação. Geração